All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, February 20th, 2014. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like descending into a police state, information security, and fiddling while the world burns, or at least playing a launch pad in my case. I'm Morps, and tonight we have drinking No Doubt Shock Top Sard.
That's right. I actually have a different kind of Shock Top tonight, though.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm actually finishing off a Shock Top Black and Tan as well.
Oh, cool. So. Yeah, I have one of the seasonal chocolate wheats, and then you combine a regular Shock Top with it. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's kind of what they... Shock Top sells a Black and Tan kit, which is similar to that. I'm not sure it's the exact regular one, but that's what I've been drinking lately, because I've developed real taste for those. So... we also have RU, no doubt, drinking coffee made from the blood of the innocent, probably.
I'm actually not. I've got a beer. Because when you've been awake 3 days, it's no longer early afternoon.
Nice.
I have a 4X bitter.
Very nice. And hopefully drinking bourbon to keep us from falling into the sun, Madman.
It's not working. No, I got tired of snow. I'm drinking beer.
You bastard. No wonder it's so fucking hot.
Newcastle werewolf.
You know, I don't. It's not global warming. It's just the axis of the planet is off. There you go.
Nobody's don't worry, it'll get warm enough that I'll start wanting bourbon again.
There you go. So, a little bit of station news. Obviously, the stream has been up and down a lot. And we've been exploring our options to the point that I don't really even want to deal with these VPSs anymore. Obviously, the VPS we've been using is not working, and it's getting a little bit old. So Sark is going to take a crack at running the stream for a while. We'll see how that goes for him. How quickly we drive him insane with it.
I look forward to the insanity.
You say that now. Yeah, but we've got to do something because obviously the system's not working very well. It's blue screening daily at this point. So until we get the new systems put up, the stream's going to be up and down again. And I know that's been going on forever with the stream, but there's not much I can do about it. So until Sard gives me the go ahead, it's we're going to kind of keep trucking along until we switch over, and then we'll see what happens. So, not that anybody's surprised at this point, I guess. So moving straight on into discussion, I don't know if anybody's noticed or not, but the internet is being locked down pretty much one step at a time. I got a little handful of stories here to kind of illustrate the point. First one's from Ars Technica. On Wednesday in New Zealand, a court of appeals ruled that warrants used to seize property belonging to Mega Upload founder and CEO Kim.com were legal. The court's decision reversed a 2012 high court decision in which a chief judge ruled that the warrants were too vague and did not define the parameters of the search and seizure sufficiently. In today's ruling, the court acknowledged that there were defects in the warrants, but these were in form, not substance, wrote New Zealand's Herald. The defects in those warrants were therefore not so radical as to require them to be treated as nullities. .com was also ordered to pay 60% of the government's legal fees for the appeal. So, I don't know about you guys, this kind of looked like somebody was waiting for the press to move on to something else and then paid off a judge.
Yeah, plus, who cares? All the shit's been deleted now anyways, so...
Yeah.
It's precedent.
Yeah, it's precedent, though. It's just that... They didn't have to have a very specific warrant to go in and attack the guy who was running a file sharing service, essentially. And apparently it was quite lucrative at it because he had a lot of money. But, you know, I mean, it's just...
A lot of money.
The point of this...
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Batman. Go ahead.
Anyone notice the problem with warrants? All they are exactly what's supposed to be searched. So if that's not written on the warrant, and you still say the warrant is good, then you're saying any warrant, no matter what's written on it, is good.
Again, precedent. See, the thing is, they're going after... I have no particular love for Chem.com here. It's just interesting. But the thing is that they're not really attacking the end users anymore because that's bad for press. So now they're going straight for services. Next story up is from Torrent Freak. Mega Upload's former hosting provider, LeaseWeb, has been sued for copyright infringement in a federal court in California. A complaint filed by adult magazine publisher Perfect 10 accuses the hosting provider of servicing several pirate websites. The publisher also holds LeaseWeb liable for the infringements of Mega Upload, demanding up to $188 million in damages. So, again, you know, you can't get to the people who are uploading this crap or maybe the people running the site, so you go to the ISPs. And I honestly, it cannot be that strong of a case, but even if there's no legal precedent for this and they lose the case, how many hosts are going to go nuts adding, you know, legal bullshit to their agreements so that they can avoid these kind of lawsuits? You know, even if it's a frivolous lawsuit, it's still expensive to fight it.
Who wants to sue Google?
Well, if you
I could get to Mega Upload by typing Mega Upload into Google.
Well, hell, the RIAA and MPAA are attacking Google on that very premise. They're demanding that Google censor the internet.
Good but luck.
Again,
oh, my fucking brain.
They're going after the services and the hosts as opposed to the stuff they don't like. So it's like they're trying to beat the internet into submission with this war of attrition of just constantly going after and after and after things. And let's be honest, it's not like we ever thought that, you know, copyright holders and governments and business interests would just, like, you know, go away. It'd be like, oh, well, it's the internet. We can't do anything. Just throw up their hands and leave. We kind of knew they'd be going after everything, but they're winning.
Going after stuff isn't the problem. It's that they're going after the wrong people.
And winning.
Him.com might be a massive douchebag. I don't really know the guy. But as far as I understand his business model, he rented out server space and people could stick whatever the fuck they wanted on it.
And he just put a nice wrapper around it, yes.
It's not his responsibility to make sure his clients are legal. He just is a pass-through. If somebody serves him a warrant saying, so-and-so douchebag in California is putting these files on your site that aren't legal, it's like, okay, here's so-and-so douchebag's information. Go sue the fuck out of him.
Yeah. So, of course, the last one is from The Hill. Edward Snowden warns in a new TV interview that the National Security Agency can track people no matter how well they hide their online presence. The public has a right to know that, which the government is doing in its name, Snowden said. Anywhere you try to hide your online presence, the NSA can find you. German broadcast NDR recently interviewed Snowden at a secret location in Moscow. Well, it's in Moscow, so I'm not sure how secret. The conversation aired on Monday evening on SBS 1 in Australia. The government has decided it's a good idea to collect it all, everything, even if you've never been suspected of a crime. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking with enough router and firewall and server logs, that could be true. They know everything you're hitting, even if they have to go back and correlate through proxies and routers and everything else to figure it out. I mean, they may have the data. It may not be all that useful, but they may have it.
I'm going to demand that they go through every line of porn site I fucking went to when they're prosecuting me. They're going to read out everything, dude. The name of every file. I just want to see them blush.
Nice. So I guess kind of the point I'm wanting to bring up with these stories here, are we losing? I mean, are we losing the internet to...
We already lost, Morps.
We've already lost. Okay, well, that's even better.
Rand Paul's lawsuit has not been decided yet. We could win a victory here.
No. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, net neutrality rules are thrown out the window, so Verizon and AT&T and Comcast are already... There's already a hoopla with Netflix saying Netflix should be paying part of the bandwidth bills. Like, that's what you contracted for, is to provide this connectivity to this, to your clients. And well, now
you're
deluded
if you think there's still a fight to be had. That's all I can say. They're
so you think it's time to run and hide, basically?
Well,
wait till you see the final beast. You know what I mean?
If the senator wins in court, they'll actually have to produce warrants to tap us now.
Well, it's not just the NSA. You got the copyright lobby. You got, you know, businesses that don't appreciate competition. You've got municipalities. Kansas did strike down that bill that wouldn't have allowed competing ISPs out of municipalities, but that's not the case in most places. In most places, the cable company shuts down competing ISPs. We talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, are we kind of looking at the end of this structure of internet and just get ready for the new future where it's sold to you as a package system? And you want the gamer platform, access to Steam? Yeah, that'll be an extra $30 a month. And you say, oh, you're doing streaming video? Yep, that's another $10. And
plus the licensing fee for a broadcasting license. And yeah, plus we're going to stick the FCC in your face there too. Yeah, we know that's only in America, but yeah, we may go globally. So fuck you, you're a terrorist if you disagree.
Only in America and only for broadcasts. The internet doesn't broadcast.
They'll find a way, dude. They'll find a way.
Well, I'm seeing some things that are bringing hope. Congress is looking at copyright and patent law again. So some of this crap could just be struck down through the legislative branch. They're saying it's too broad.
How can you have faith in a system that can't even put together a budget?
They did eventually get a budget passed, didn't they?
Yeah, they got a budget passed, but it was a horrible piece of crap. But all budgets are horrible pieces of crap. I'm a libertarian. Yeah, Anything more than like $100 is a horrible piece of crap.
Obama's been president for 5 years. They got one pass.
One. One. Budgets are meant to be annual.
It's the only constitutional thing Congress has to do other than oversight of what the president does.
I only point that out because I'm not saying I'm pointing that out because RU is not wrong.
So, yeah, RU is not wrong.
I just, you know, oof.
If only I could get my wife to say that now.
Oh, that's not going to happen. She has two X chromosomes.
I cannot help you there. So
yeah, I can't see how you're putting faith in people that can't even do their jobs, the thing that they're meant to do in their job, once a year. It's once a fucking year. So I think we just sit back and wait now. Ride the express down, yeah, and just point and laugh at all those flailing their arms because they're too late to start fighting about it and suddenly realize what they fucking got.
I don't know that the fighting would have done any good.
We did try there at one point. And they actually got Congress to change some stuff. But, why do I even care what America's doing? Oh, shit, yeah. Now I
because
get it.
We influence the entire world.
Exactly.
Well, there's that.
You imperialist bastards.
And I'd be fine if we were true imperialists. If we sent troops over and invaded countries and then kept them.
It's called a cultural win.
Should I be saying that out loud? Yes,
probably
I should.
Not. Never know, dude. You may be considered a target here. You know.
And hence the reason we all use code names.
Call me Professor X from now on.
So, anyways, I'm just, you know, more and more and more, I'm just seeing these news stories where we've lost, and there's not going to be the free and open internet. There's not going to be, hell, even a fair internet. It's going to be just another controlled content consumption platform. Hell, Microsoft has flat out said that's what they want Windows to be, is a content consumption platform. So I'm just, you know, pointing it out that that's where they're trying to take the biggest operating system in the world is to a consumer platform, not a content creation and manipulation platform.
I don't want a Raspberry Pi. I want a computer.
Sorry, sir, for security concerns, you're not allowed to have a computer. Unless you're licensed. Would you like to come down to the government, get fingerprint registered, and then be licensed and monitored?
I'm already bonded. Ha! They beat you to it.
Fair enough.
So, anyways.
I've got no faith left, Morps.
No, the Electronic Freedom Foundation can still win.
Yeah.
I will hold out hope until the world's on fire and I'm drunk on top of a building with an assault rifle solving problems manual.
Now that's a rally I can get behind, dude.
Solving the problem.
You should be in Kiev giving speeches, man. This old guy's boring as fuck right now.
If I spoke the language, I could rally some demonstrators and overthrow a government. They're properly motivated. They're setting stuff on fire and standing up against cops. These are men after my own heart.
Nice. Very nice. All right. Well, we've kind of beat that to death. I just kind of, you know, what are we doing? I'm whinging about it. I don't have an answer. I don't have a solution other than, according to Snowden, not even Tor is safe. So learn to set up mesh nets, I guess.
Yeah,
the solution is we don't need Congress to pass laws. It just hasn't happened since the Constitutional Convention, but the Constitution allows for individuals in our country to draft a law and then pass it. We can do that.
I think we'd get shot.
Probably.
You know, you're starting to sound like an imminent threat. Watch the skies, dude.
I can write it. I'm learning legalese in my new job.
Yeah, congrats on that, by the way. So how's it feel not be a cart pusher for a living?
Oh, fuck you. I just want to throw that out there.
Okay. Oh, I've got to read you about it a little bit. Come on.
I was their boss. I just didn't have anyone to boss around that day. And it's so weird sitting in front of a computer not expected to really accomplish anything.
Welcome to office life.
Here's the toilets to the here's the keys to the toilets and just make it look like you're doing shit for the day.
I finally got an electronic card key. Security nice. Doesn't have to let me in the building every day.
Interesting. Nice. Really? So you're keeping that in your wallet, I assume?
No, it's currently on my coffee table next to my gun.
Okay, well, that makes it a little bit less accessible then, doesn't it? You ever seen an RFID cloner? Because I started the process of building one and just didn't get that far. They noticed when I borrowed a couple of pieces parts from work, so I had to take them back. But anyways, so they're not that hard to make. Anyways, moving on. So let's see. Current events. This first one up is from TheVerge.com. After belatedly deciding to follow Verizon's lead last year, AT&T has published its first transparency report detailing the number of customer data requests it received from the local, state, and federal law enforcement in 2013. It tallied 301,816 total requests for phone records and subscriber information split between subpoenas, court orders, and search warrants. However, the company concedes it can't yet legally go into the specifics about the number of national security requests it received from the NSA, though it promises to include new information as we are allowed by government policy changes going forward. In other words, AT&T is saying, yes, we've given the government information and we would love to tell you about it, but they have guns. So... AT&T breaks down its law enforcement requests into multiple categories, according to the nature of the request and the kind of data being provided. The numbers were altogether comparable to Verizon's own report last month. The most common request came in the form of subpoenas, coming in at 248,343, counted between criminal and civil cases. Location demands number 37,839 between historical and real-time data and information pulled down from cell towers. A grand total of 22 requests were made for international data, but AT&T doesn't go into the same kind of detail Verizon did in their own report. The numbers are far less exacting when it comes to national security requests, which can only be described in terms of 1,000, or in increments of 1,000. Moreover, it can only cop to FISA court orders it got in the first 6 months of 2013. That said, AT&T does reveal that it received between 2,000 and 2,099 national security letters last year. Most significantly, the report showed that 35,999 requests were made under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act for data that would eventually make it into the hands of the NSA. The company now has committed to releasing reports like this on a semi-annual basis. So, pretty much, there's your confirmation that, yes, law enforcement is going straight to the cell phone companies and asking them where you are. And that there are lots of court-ordered subpoenas, and those are most likely for text messages and call records. Probably by divorce lawyers would be a good guess for a lot of those. But yeah, the cops are using your cell phone to locate you. So,
I wonder if I can commit a murder and then use the cops as my alibi for the murder?
By leaving your cell phone someplace else?
Yep.
But you'd have to take a call.
Continuous texting work? Because I can put a nice little bot on my phone to text people.
Well, it's an Android phone. I'm sure it wouldn't be that difficult to rig up some sort of a proxy system. Hell, I think a VNC server is out there for it. So,
get with me after the show, Madman. We'll go through some details.
Yeah.
So I don't want to text you. You're in a different country. I want something they'll have to work to prove that I was not there. No, Morbs, can we text stuff later?
I've only got a handful of messages left in my plan, but you'll have to wait till next month.
I was hoping that I'd have to fly over to the States to give testimony that you'd text me, and I'd get a free fucking holiday.
They fly you over here, spend tons on your room and board. You get up on the stand. Yes, he did.
Yep.
Yes.
Is that it?
Thank you.
Is that all you needed?
All right, I'm out of here.
My plan, man. You're wrecking it.
Yeah. I guess you can come over. We can have a beer. It wouldn't look too suspicious. I'm texting you already.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Nice.
Very nice. All right. Next story up is from DailyDot.com. And this is just hilarious. Two former mobile marketing executives want to identify 30 people they claimed libeled them online. Paul Arena and Nathaniel Bradley, the former chief executive and chief technology officers of AugMe Technologies, are seeking to uncover the identity of specific commenters who posted malicious statements about them online, according to the New York Daily News. Arena and Bradley filed a lawsuit through the Brooklyn Federal Court on February 14th. The libelous accusations appeared online following Arena's and Bradley's departures in 2012 from the mobile marketing company now known as Hip Cricket. Who names this crap?
Hipsters.
I love these. Using usernames like Bull Trader, Sandworm Rider, and Pump and Dump 340985.
Pump and Dump.
The trolls supposedly posted fake allegations of inappropriate behavior, including inflating the company's stock, stealing money from investors, and engaging in inappropriate office relationships. One anonymous comment labeled Arena and Bradley as the Bang Bros of Pump Stock. Welcome to 4chan. The two men will subpoena internet service providers in order to obtain information that will help them identify the trolls. They then plan to amend the lawsuit with their real names. The posts were abusive, vulgar, and damning to the plaintiffs and were accessible to millions of internet users around the world, the complaint stated. On January 30th, Arena was appointed executive chairman and elected to the board of directors at AudioEye, where Bradley is the CEO. The company develops software capable of converting web pages into audio versions. Porn for blind people. The New York Daily... I'm Sorry. The New York Daily News reports that incidents involving defamatory comments have increased since the appointment. The motive behind the accusations remained unclear, but Arena and Bradley are hardly the first to ask a court to identify asking a court to out the identity of anonymous commenters. In May of 2013, the animal rights activist group PETA opened a lawsuit seeking to uncover the identity of three commenters who left libelous comments in a discussion on the Huffington Post. The case was later dropped. The outcome of the case, however, could influence how future harmful anonymous statements should be construed by individuals as well as courts if successful. Arena and Bradley aim to recover financial compensation and damages and an injunction for the guilty parties to terminate their online bashing. So think about this. Somebody makes some dumbass comment on any website, like in PETA's case, the Huffington Post. It wasn't even on PETA's own website. And they go to sue.
Good luck ever finding me, PETA.
Well, there's, yeah, I mean, obviously, well, for one thing, how do you know all 30 identities, you know, weren't the same guy, for one thing?
Yep.
But for two, it's like, it's fucking 4chan. Good luck.
And yeah. How do you prove damages?
I don't know. That's the thing I'm trying to figure out. It's like, you got trolled online and you open a lawsuit? I just...
Oh, you just see the... Like, hand them the butthurt form. Give them that. Where does it hurt on your ass?
Yes, sir. How hard did it hurt? We see you are officially butthurt, and we sympathize. However, it's an anonymous online forum, and I don't know, free speech. Anyways, I'm not quite sure that, because there is a line on free speech when it comes to libel, but it's anonymous comments online. Like,
This is what it's all about, Morps. Trying to get
rid of this. I got filters so I don't see most of those on most websites I go to. I mean, who reads the fucking comments?
Don't have a comments section on your webpage if you don't want comments.
It's worked well for our site. It's like, if you want to leave a comment on G15, go to Reddit or use the email forum. And it just saves us so much time.
As we said last week, like, I don't even go to look at them. I don't look at the comments. I don't give a fuck.
You can have hate mail, are you?
I don't
care.
You can
have hate mail from Shock Top.
Whoopie fucking here. Go mail me some fucking kittens. Like, I give a fuck. I'll just buy a snake so I can feed the kittens to my snake.
Damn. It brightened my week.
But you were in a fairly dark place when you got that hate mail, man. I'm just going to point that out. It's like that was nice compared to what you were dealing with at the time. So it's like, you know, when what you look forward to is your hate mail, you really probably want to go see a psychiatrist.
No, you don't. Those fuckers cost money and they can't solve anything.
And they can just commit you.
I don't even think they give you drugs that much anymore.
No, it's really hard. They trained us not to give out drugs.
See, oh, I'd be better right. off seeing my corner be a drug psychiatrist. Dealer.
Was not anymore.
No, still. Next time we're, you know, worried about somebody being homicidal, we can have you sit down and talk with them, and you can get mad at us for suggesting it, you know.
No, I couldn't talk madman out of homicidal thoughts if I tried. The dude's just naturally fucking crazy, man. That's like teaching a lion to be a vegetarian. Yeah, it'll keep it calm for a couple of weeks. Eventually, it's going to kill you.
Just cough a lot. Anyways.
Murder can be an answer. See, this is why I never made it through psych school, dude. Fucking answering shit like that. Yeah, dude, totally. You hate your mom? Kill her. Good. Yep, she sounds like a cunt anyway. You never empathize with the patient when it comes to murdering things. But I always failed in the test.
Very. All right. Next story up is from Ars Technica. In 2012, French blogger, activist, and businessman Oliver Larly sat down at his computer. It automatically connected to his VPN on boot. He owns a small security services company called Tunix, which was providing a connection via a Panamanian IP address, and begin surfing the web. Larly, who goes by the alias Blutoff in most circles, including on Ars Technica, is something of a presence in the among the French tech-savvy community. Besides managing Tunux, he's also co-founded the French language activist news site Reflets.info, which describes itself as a community project to connect journalists and computer networking specialists. As such, Lorelei initiated a Google search on other subjects, but what he stumbled upon was perhaps more interesting, a link that led to 7.7 gigabytes of internal data from the French National Agency for Food Safety, Environment, and Labor. Although the documents were openly indexed by Google, Lorelei would soon be in the French government's crosshairs for publishing them. He eventually faced criminal charges, even though he was later acquitted of those. However, a separate French government agency pursued a civil appeal, and last Tuesday, French appeals court fined Lorelei 3,000 euros, or a little over $4,000, meaning he was likely made one of the most expensive Google searches to date. So let's just understand what this guy did. He found indexed documents on a government website in Google. He Googled it. And it ended up costing him 3,000 euros.
How the fuck does that happen? I don't get it.
He
didn't break the law. He didn't link any. He didn't leak anything.
It was already out there.
This was illegal?
It was later in the story, it comes out that this stuff was supposed to be behind a paywall. Or not a paywall, but a login screen. So whoever set up the web server set it up wrong. They
cool.
accidentally
that
made
things.
That
person broke the law. This dude didn't.
Well, on that fateful night, Lorelei merely used the Linux wget tool to download all the contents of the web directory that he found. He left the files on his drive for a few days, then transferred them to his desktop for more convenient reading, which the French government would later spin as the accused made a backup copies of documents that he had already stolen. So because nice. He moved into his other computer, he made an illegal backup. A few days later, Lorelei searched for more through the documents he downloaded and sent some to fellow Reflets writer Jorvan McKinnick. About 2 weeks later, a few interesting scientific slides pertaining to nanosubstances from the cache were published on Lorelei's site. He later wrote about how he reacted when he discovered the documents, that is, how he faced at what the time was a non-dilemma. Through a Google search, this is him writing, through a Google search which strictly did not have anything to do with ANSES, which is the agency, or with public health, I found myself at the ANSES extranet simply by clicking on a search result. First observation, there are a lot of documents freely available here. Second observation, they speak about public health. Third observation, this is a public establishment. Question, is it that this ought to be public? Response, too obvious at the time, yes. I did it wrong. According to French language site PC Impact, when ANSES discovered the slides in question on Reflets.info, the agency filed a report with the police, citing potential intrusion into a computer system and theft from a computer. At that point, France's Central Directorate of Interior Intelligence joined the case to investigate how the files have been hacked, you know, through Google.
Yeah.
The DCRI discovered that the files have been downloaded via a Pandamanian IP address. When they discovered the address was used by VPN service operated by Reflets Editor, they went after Lorelei. The activist claims that the involvement in the VPN was the tipping point in convincing the investigators that he was guilty or that he at least did something nefarious. This VPN, in fact, above all this Panamanian IP address, is probably one of the strongest elements which had driven the prosecution to pursue a criminal case. So he used a VPN and Google and Linux's wget. God help him.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Lorelei was held in custody for 30 hours before officials indicted him. So not only did he not do anything wrong, they made him spend over a day in jail just, you know, sitting there waiting.
That's not weird.
I'll tell you why they pwned this guy. They got this guy so hard because the files that he took were probably concerning, let's say, horse meat in food.
Well,
I'll bet on it.
He kind of got off lightly. I mean, you know, they're only fining him 3,000 euros, and he gets to tweet that he's a cyber criminal. But at the very end of the article, they have an update. Lorelei ended up admitting in testimony that when he found the documents, he traveled back to the homepage that they stem from and found an authentication page. This indicated that the documents were likely supposed to be protected. That admission played a part in his later conviction in the appeals court. So basically...
Oh, you dickhead.
Because he admitted that, oh, they have a login system, but here's everything. It's probably supposed to be password protected, but it's not. Oh, that's guilt. So wow. If you ever find Google Dork documents, don't just don't go and look and see if they're supposed to be behind a password or not. Just claim ignorance on that part. But yeah, He used a VPN and downloaded documents from a misconfigured web server. The
just
monster.
Like you, yeah, really. Like you said, I mean, if things keep going the way they're going, each time you even just connect to Tor or even connect to a VPN, you're automatically a criminal.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh, you're hiding? Why are you hiding? Do you have something to hide? Go ahead, Mehmet.
He pulled up documents that came up in a Google search. I click on news sites all the damn time. That's what he did.
Yeah, the monster. The horrible, horrible person.
It's like charging with someone with, you clicked on YouTube.
Yeah, God help him. I mean, just God help him.
He didn't circumvent anything. Somebody else was a moron and just dumped stuff on the internet for the world to read.
Yeah, why is he getting punished for someone's, you know, misconfiguring a website? It doesn't... Like, I don't...
Because
I really
he found
don't
it.
But you can show the court that, okay, hey, go to Google, type this in, look, third link down, click that, boom, documents.
No, because yeah. This wasn't third link down. This is probably six pages in.
Don't let a fact get in the way of a convenient story here.
Dude, that's I'm telling ridiculous. You, if he got the level of documents that he got busted for, that wasn't on the front page of Google, and he just didn't type in a regular fucking search.
No, he was Google dorking. I mean,
yeah.
So what? Fuck, I Google dork all the time. Find all kinds
of
shit.
I know. I'm not saying he did anything wrong.
He published it. He let them know he had it. That's
yeah. Don't
really...
tell anybody about it. Don't take photos of it. You know, it's a crime, dude. Fucking shut up.
That's just it. It's not a crime. He clicked a link.
Technically,
the only person that could have possibly committed the crime was the dude that set up the web server, because he technically leaked government information.
Well, then the only thing he's guilty of is committing a massive offense of stupidity. One, publishing. Two, telling people about it.
Yeah.
He thought he lived in a free society.
Oh, Muffin. Isn't it cute? I love it when people have little delusions like that. No, no, the police will help me. Stop raping me. Stop raping me. Where's the police?
Anybody else seen the GIF Player 2 has entered the game? Because that's kind of what I imagine when... Anyways.
It's a bit like when I thought, yep, insurance, that'll fix me back. I did everything right. All of... God damn it, it is true. Well, that's it. Off to be a narcissist.
Well, yeah, at least he's got a goal. We'll commend him for. All right, let's see. Next story up. This one's from CNET. Not only were as many as 110 million target customers affected by the massive hack on the retailer in December, but banks have also had to deal with the security breach. The hack is said to have cost banks and credit unions more than $200 million, according to data gathered by the Consumer Bankers Association and the Credit Union National Association. Originally, the two associations estimated that the losses tallied around $178 million, but now say those costs are rising. And all 40 million credit and debit cards were compromised in the breach. So far, banks and credit unions have replaced 54.5% or 21.8 million cards. The cost to banks could increase if additional fraudulent activity occurs with the compromised cards. The security breach, which yielded personal information of an estimated 110 million customers, was first identified on December 15th. Apparently, cyber criminals accessed customers' private information at point-of-sale terminals during checkout. Target said the breach occurred between November 27th and December the 15th and resulted in the theft of names, mailing addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, and debit and credit card data of people who shopped at the retailer during those dates. Working to gain consumer confidence in the aftermath of the breach, Target has offered affected customers one-year free credit monitoring and begun development of high-security smart credit cards embedded with microprocessor chips. According to a report earlier this month, the retailer is said to be paying up to $420 million to cover such costs associated with the breach. So, I just thought that was an interesting little article about the amount of damage that this has caused ancillary to the direct damage. You know, you think, you know, how much has the banks got to spend to replace all these cards? Grand cards are cheap, but still a lot of them.
Right. Yeah. It's the printing and stamping of them all and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
But also, too, I'd hazard a guess probably 100 million of that's gone into damage control, just in ads and advertising and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Trying but to recreate the image.
Didn't they do a massive sale right after it happened, trying to get people back in the stores?
Yeah, 50% off, wasn't it, on certain items?
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, they, you know, it's been expensive for them, but, you know, I'm finding this on little one-off articles. I'm not seeing it, like, all over financial news.
None of the big financial agencies actually, well, news reporters ever really touched the whole Target thing.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew how to report on it.
I just think it's strange that it's like, this is a big deal, and it's pretty much being ignored.
Yeah.
Well, trying to be ignored, swept under the rug, because, like you said, they want to repair their image. They don't want people talking about it.
Yeah.
You have to look for financial news to find anything good.
Yeah, you have to wait. It's a bit like regular news, but financial news is it's twice as fucking snoozeworthy.
Yeah.
And wading through it is just a bitch.
Well,
you have
that
to be
exceptionally
self-harming that day to want to actually read financial news.
That, and it doesn't make, like, mainstream news organizations. CNN doesn't cover a lot of it. You might get an hour of financial news on there. You have to actually go to a financial news television station to see it on TV.
Oh, who? Boomerang?
Spaghetti Monsters.
I think Fox Business, and then CNN has a business offshoot, too.
Kill me.
But you have to go to the offshoots of the major news organizations to see anything. Or look up financial podcasts. You're not going to find it on a standard news channel at all. Because it affects people's lives and is interesting. They're not going to talk about it. They want to talk about the new iPad or happy-go-lucky news or sensationalized news, nothing that will affect people's everyday lives.
Look at a squirrel. They want to do advertorials as opposed to actual news.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Lovely. All right, last story I have for tonight, and this is just hilarious. It's from worldbulletin.net. The General Authority of Islamic Affairs and Endowment in the UAE has issued a fatwa, or I'm probably saying that wrong.
Fatwa.
Fatwa, thank you. Islamic ruling prohibiting Muslims from volunteering to live for the rest of their lives on Mars. The fatwa comes in response to a planned space mission called Mars One, which aims to settle a permanent human colony on Mars in 2023. Such a one-way journey poses a real risk to life and... Whoa, hello? Where did all that crap come from? I'm got a bunch of junk in my...
Squirrel.
Yeah, squirrel. Such a one-way journey poses a real risk to life, and that can never be justified in Islam, the committee said. Adding, there is a possibility that an individual who travels to the planet Mars may not be able to return alive there, or be able to remain alive there, and is more vulnerable to death. Because there's less vulnerable to death. Anyways, comparing taking such a risk to committing suicide, the ruling stated that death there was no righteous reason for Muslims to give their lives for such a mission. Protecting life against all possible dangers and keeping it safe is an issue agreed upon by all religions and is clearly stipulated in the verse 429 of the Holy Quran. Do not kill yourselves or one another. Indeed, Allah is to you ever merciful, the fatwa quoted. I think there's some members of that religion who really need to hear that particular.
On the note of actually sounding racist or religious or whatever the fuck it is, I'm perfectly fine with the religion of Islam staying on Earth. I'll go to Mars.
Okay,
I know that's probably not a politically correct statement, but fuck it. I'm standing behind it, beside it, in front of it, and on the other side as well.
Well, it's just I'm loving some of these quotes here because at least in the modern context, Islam is the religion that gives us suicide bombers, not to be too inflammatory here, but it's kind of the truth.
Well, Islam telling you, the religion of peace, and they will kill you to fucking prove it, man.
Well, it's just, you keep reading here some of these. Presided over by Professor Dr. Farquhar Hamada, the committee stated, in verse 1993 of the Holy Quran, it states in which Allah says, there is no one in the heavens and earth but that he comes to the most merciful as the servant. Indeed, he has enumerated them and counted them as a full counting. Islamic researcher Dr. Shaikh Muhammad al-Aswai also added, Almighty Allah said in verse 2195 of the Holy Quran, do not throw yourselves with your own hands into destruction.
Yeah, get someone with a lower IQ to fucking blow himself up. That's what that quote means.
God!
I can hear the major from here. Oh my god.
Many Muslims, including the 500 Saudi Arabians, or some 500 Saudi Arabians and other Arabs, are reported to be among the thousands of volunteer applicants worldwide to participate in the Dutch-sponsored one-way trip to the Red Planet, according to UAE's Khalij Times.
Please hope they check every one of those guys for a vest and then have them take it off before they leave the Middle East.
At times, the $6 billion project.
Space shuttle.
Okay, so apparently Islamic leadership is saying no to Mars exploration. And I'm sorry, I know it's a very American-centric view, and it's taking a very limited view of Islam, but these quotes versus how they're portrayed in, say, the news, it just doesn't fit. it's okay when they're trying to make political statements, but if they're going to do space exploration, no, we can't have suicide. I really, really don't mean to sound prejudiced, but come on.
I do. They're a bunch of backwards fucking murderers. And they want to engage a fatwa saying you can't go to Mars. How about a fatwa saying you can't kill Christians unless they're attempting to kill you?
Yeah, I know this long-running series, you know, riots and shit like that and overthrowing in the Middle East has been good, and this new switch they're doing in Europe this season is fantastic, but I can't wait to get back to the Middle East and see what's going on there.
All right. So, I mean, I just...
There's many easy jokes.
I know. And I almost didn't want to do the story for that very reason, but it's space exploration and Mars, and they're just saying, nope, don't want anything to do with that.
I think RU has a great point. We should just all move to Mars. Hydroponics have come a long way. I think we can build a dome and grow our own food.
Yep.
There you go.
Easy. Yeah.
All right. It is time for this.
I think we need to throw out an Allahu Akbar on the end of that now.
I don't have that on the soundboard.
I'll get you one.
So, Madman, if you want to let out a good old-fashioned Allahu snack bar, you go right ahead.
You sure you want to do that, imminent threat?
Then they might decree a fatwa against me.
Dude, I'm going to give you a digital baptism. You're now known as imminent threat.
I'm just going to point out, I switched to bourbon like, I don't know, 20 minutes ago. So, anyways, let's see. So for Digital Dojo, first up, I've got your script kitty script of the week. This one is on Dan McErnie's GitHub. It's simply called creds.py. Harvest FTP, POP, IMAP, HTTP, IRC credentials, along with interesting data from each of the protocols. If no interface is specified with the dash I option, the script will use the internet connected interface it finds via IP route. Concatenates fragmented packets so as not to miss any important info. Upon catching a control C, will print a list of credentials for each IP address that was sniffed on the network along with the server they sent them to. So what this script is, it's a dead simple Python script for parsing PCAP information, whether it's, you know, from a live Ethernet capture or a PCAP file. And it's looking for clear text credentials as they go across the network. Anyone with working knowledge of Wireshark or any of the other fairly common PCAP tools can do what this script does. But it's a nice little quick script. It does it automatically. You don't have to set up your own filters or anything in Wireshark. So, you know, it's great for, you know, script kiddie. You don't have to know what you're doing. You can just run it. And it catches credentials going across the network in clear text, which should never happen.
You're funny.
Yeah.
He didn't say it never happened. He said it should never happen. There is a slight difference.
So, anyways, on a slightly more serious note, if you are kind of learning how to be a packet monkey, this script is a good thing to pull apart because it shows you exactly, you know, how to catch FTP, email, web, IRC credentials. Like, for example, with the emails, it pulls out a bunch of stuff. It's not just the username and password, but also the, you know, who they're emailing and domains. IRC gives you the channels they join. HTTP, it gives you basically every URL that it sees go across. So, yeah, it's really just wrapping up some of your basic PCAP tools. But it's a nice little script for just dumping this stuff out quickly if you just need to do it. And it is Python, so you can go read how the script works and get a better understanding of how to do some of this stuff on the network. So I say script kitty. It's not quite a script kitty as, you know, the Wi-Fi jammer, but it's still pretty script kitty. So, but that's still, it's fun, something to play with. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a nice little script, and you know, you can have it on your computer claiming, oh, I'm trying to understand how it works by picking it apart, even though if all you're really doing is trying to catch somebody's porn passwords as they go across.
Yeah, hey, I can get access to porn that was already free somewhere else anyway.
Exactly!
Who has porn passwords?
But now you know that they're going to it, so you can blackmail them. I mean, I said that out loud. Anyways.
So why are you going to underageasiansluts.com?
Well, if you just got rid of the underage thing, there's no blackmail there.
Well, there's that. There's also the actually the email thing is fairly interesting because I'm sure there's still a lot of say corporate email servers that are not using SSL for their email logins, even though it's not that hard to set up. Anyways, you do have to buy a certificate, but you know. Anyways, so that would be something kind of interesting. It'd be one of these scripts that'd be really interesting to, you know, pull up your laptop in the coffee shop or the airport or someplace else where there's a, you know, a public Wi-Fi hotspot, and just let it run and see what you get.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So,
cool.
Next thing I have up for Digital Dojo. Now this is cool. It's from nfrucrosity.com, and my cat is trying to walk on the keyboard. No, kitty, come on. Anyway, sorry about that, but the cat decided it was an excellent time to jump on the desk. What this guy's done is he's grabbed a GNU radio and a couple of commodity laptops, and he has reinvented the modem.
What?
Okay, in all seriousness, using GNU radio, he was able to do simple TCP/IP via high-frequency audio using commodity hardware.
That's so just pretty fucking nuts.
The slug from his write-up here, we present a simple-to-use implementation of networking across ultrasonic frequencies by making use of GNU radio and a microphone and speakers. This allows you to use TCP/IP, UDP across an audio link. This is a modem in software, is what he's written. It's using high frequencies just outside of the range of human hearing on commodity audio cards. And he's got a YouTube video demonstrating just like a simple Netcat terminal. He types hello world, and then like 10 seconds later, it shows up on the other machine. But, and you know, he's got a spectrum analyzer up so you can see what the microphones are picking up. But it is actually doing TCP/IP networking via ultrasonic audio, which is kind of badass. It's slow as Christmas, but it's all documented well enough on his website. Like, he's actually got all the information you need for GNU radio to replicate his work.
That's cool. I'm sure this surfaced because there was that virus that...
I'm sure that's exactly why he did it.
Yeah, spread via ultrasonic frequencies like that. So, I had never heard of it until then. That's pretty freaking cool.
It's cool. I mean, yeah, it's a modem. Let's be real. That's exactly what it is. He's got a software modem. But
you can't hear it.
You can't
hear
it. It's ultrasonic, and it's using... It actually proves that commodity hardware is capable of working in the frequencies that he's talking about. So,
kind of proving that virus that they weren't sure if it was actually spreading that way is legitimately, it's possible. Well,
I don't know how a virus would spread this way because you need something listening for it on the other end. But I could see communications going this way. If you've already got a machine infected and it's air-gapped, I could see passing your control messages that way or getting data off a box that way. I could also see using it for, we were kind of talking about this before the show, a way of passing, I said sonography, but that's not the right word, stereo. I can't think of it now. Using encryption to hide a file in another file. People do it with pictures all the time.
Oh.
Help me out with the word. I can't think of the word.
Yeah, I'm
lost now.
Stereo look all through. No, damn it. Yeah, it'll come to me. Anyways, you know, if you're wanting to hide data, you could actually hide a TCP stream in a WAV file with this thing. So it'd be huge because you've got all these ultrasonic frequencies in there. But, you know, there's nothing stopping you from playing it back while something else listens and pulling the TCP stream out of it. So if you wanted a really crazy way to hide hide information, that'd be one way to do it.
Right.
But he proves it works, and he's got a YouTube video up showing it worked. It's, like I said, it's fairly slow. But he explains why it's so slow, too. They've intentionally got it running very, very slow because apparently their script has to do a lot of error correction. So they're compensating for interference and all this other stuff on the end. So
stenography,
thank you.
Yep.
I kept wanting to call it something else, but that's it. So yeah. They're starred with the quick Google search for us. So anyways.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. So that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're doing a lot of work on it here lately, trying to get the damn thing working reliably again. But hey, we made it through the whole show. That's always handy. Woo. So, of course, Pure Decking every Thursday. I believe Shoot the Noise is still on hiatus. The Missing Dialogues on Tuesdays. I Have Nothing on Saturdays, which I believe is still hit or miss.
Hit and miss.
Yeah.
So,
of course, Let's Get Drunk was a miss last week because of the problems with the broadcast box, but that'll be next week. And Lore's drinking show, Drunken Anime Plot, I believe is tomorrow. I haven't talked to Lore. I need to get with him and see if he's even still see what the status of that stuff is. So anyways, of course, hit up the Galaxy 15 Radio site, the Twitter handle, the Galaxy 15 Radio sim on OS Grid, which is probably going away, the feedback form, and the subreddit. That's, I believe, everything. Worst case scenario, we'll set up a listener in GNU Radio for TCP IP via ultrasonics, so you can just point your directional speakers. We'll have Madman set that up, so you can point it at that. And the cat is somehow managed to work his way behind the monitors and is currently trying to walk on mixing equipment. That's so if my
recipe
voice cuts
for disaster. That's
so if you start hearing weird noises or the FX unit comes on or whatever like that, then you'll know what the hell's going on there. But that's pretty much all I've got for tonight. Damn it, cat! Somebody just found the echo button. So, anyways, I'm gonna need to go hog tie a feline and.
Good luck with that. Photograph
your
hands
off. That needs
to
be videotaped.
Yeah. I see you catching hog tie a cat.
Yeah, that'd end well with
him. No, catching him will be easy. Hog tying him.
Yeah, he's not exactly declawed.
So. Oh, I was just thinking he doesn't fear humans, so he'll let you pick him up until he figures out you're going to try to hog tie his ass.
And day two of the Olympics is starting up again as the sun rises in Kiev. Let's see who gets shot in the 400-meter dash now behind the lines.
Oh, they've got Putin just up there with a rifle shooting at him? Because that'd be great motivation.
I wouldn't surprise me. He's got no shirt on, standing there shooting a protester. That'd be fucking great.
Look, just like the good old days of the KGB.
Yeah.
Bring me a man. I must break his toes with a ball peen hammer.
Yeah, this song's just come up. But it should be toe-to-toe action again today at the Kiev Olympics.
All right, I'm going to hit play on this music now.
Style camouflage ready for miles. I am a mastermind.